It's time to take this game into overtime.
The official podcast
of the Average Joe's Sports Show
on 90.9 The Light Sports
for our generation.
What's going on, everyone? Johnny here, joined by Andrew over the phone again.
Hello, everybody.
So, Andrew, talking about the Russia versus Finland game that just ended a little while ago. Obviously disappointing, knocking out Team North America, a team that I think we all wanted to see make the semis. What do you think about what happened today and, you know, the semis moving forward?
You know what? I was trying to be as optimistic as possible for Finland to win this game because I wanted so badly for North America to move on to the semifinals. And when I heard Datsyuk was out of the lineup earlier today, I was head over heels in love with the fact that he wasn't playing because I went, one of their best players is out of the lineup. Finland's got a shot at winning this, meaning it's a hopeless game for them, but it means a lot for North America, for the Americans and Canadians on the team and for the fans that are watching them. So heartbreaking loss for Finland today. Didn't expect them to win, but it still sucks that they lost. Not happy at all that Russia's going to play Canada, but now I guess I'm cheering for my homeland in Canada, and I hope they just bury the Russians on Saturday.
And think about that for a second. A team, you know, going in this tournament, a team that was really expected to be just like a gimmick, suddenly made Canada root for them, you know, against their hometown, against their home country of Canada. Everyone, I think, was rooting for the North Americans in this, and I was not expecting that.
No, you know what? I never said from day one when Team North America was announced and how the roster would shape up of under 23 guys or under the age of 23, I never thought they'd be an underdog team. I always thought they'd come with the size, come with the skill, come with the speed. And they showed up and they proved us right with two unbelievable games in the tournament. I'm not even going to touch on the pregame tournaments against Europe and I believe the Czech Republic, who they lost to on their third game. But the Finland 4-1 game, what a game. Not the best game, but they won. They blew them out of the water. The Russian-North American game that I was there was the best hockey game I have ever seen live or on the television. The best game I have ever seen. And then I caught the last 3 minutes in the overtime of the Team Sweden-Team North America game. And let me tell you, that was the finest 3-on-3 play I have ever seen in my entire life. And I know we've only watched 3-on-3 overtime for one season of regular NHL. But let me tell you, what a tournament they put on, and I still think they should be in the tournament. It's ludicrous that they're out. I hate the point system, and I hate how it worked out, and I hate that Russia's advancing. But what can you do, right?
Oh, my gosh. That overtime yesterday, I've never seen anything like that. Never in my life have I seen back and forth. It seemed like there was four breakaways in a matter of, what, 3 minutes? Johnny Gaudreau comes down.
There was 2 3-on-2s, 2 breakaways, 1 goal. That one save from Henrik, I believe it was Henrik or one of the Sedins, Henrik or Daniel on John Gibson. He made an unbelievable save. Then it was a 3-on-1. Gaudreau missed the shot, went up the end boards, came out, dropped the pass to McKinnon, and McKinnon
was alone in front.
Dangle. Oh my gosh, dipsy doodles around the king, Henrik Lundqvist, and buries it top shelf. I mean, what a spectacular goal. I know it's going to be their last goal of the tournament that really matters for them. Well, no, that was their last game.
That was their last game.
Yeah, they're done. So, I mean, that was the last goal for them in the tournament, but what a way to finish. Hands down, my favorite team in the tournament, always has been, always will be. I'll be rooting for them in the next 4 years in the next World Cup, that's for sure.
And people are talking about, you know, how Connor McDavid, Jack Eichel, Austin Matthews, they still be eligible for this team in 4 years, if there is another one in 4 years.
Oh, there's going to be another one. And you know what I...
Go ahead.
You know what I heard today? I heard Bettman saying there's no chance they're going to have... And this is Gary Bettman, the commissioner of the league. No chance they're going to have the tournament again in just one city like they did this time in Toronto. So who knows where it will be next year or in the next 4 years, but it will be in 2 different cities, maybe 3 even.
I hope they have it all over wherever the countries are because, I mean, honestly, in Toronto, who was going to be going to see Czech Republic versus Team Europe? You know, if it was over, you know, over in Europe or over in the Czech Republic, you would have those home fans. And listen, some fans did travel over to Toronto. The Swedes were rocking the ACC all weekend. But, I mean, come on. Really, you're going to have those two teams play in Toronto? I don't think people are going to be buying $100 tickets for that game.
Well, let me tell you one thing. The North American Russian game I was at, the vast majority of the fans in the crowd were Russians. And I believe they're from Toronto, and there's a large Russian population and community in Toronto. So not all the fans from the European nations are traveling overseas. A lot of them actually are in Toronto. There was a lot of Czech people at the game. I work right beside the rink, so I'm walking around the rink to get to my train to go home at night, and I'm usually heading home right around the third period of the 3 o'clock game. And so I'm seeing the fans out there. I see a bunch of fans come out for a smoke break the other day. They were all wearing Czech Republic shirts. So there's lots of following for these teams, believe it or not. Even though it's held in North America, there's a ton of following for the team.
Yeah, but you're still seeing those empty seats in the rink. I mean, you're seeing tickets online hours before the game starts for like $8, $6. I mean, if they have those if they have the games over in whatever country it is, those will be sold out immediately.
Well, the high profile games, the Canada, the U.S., the Sweden, the North America games, those were sold out completely. There wasn't an empty seat in the house. But the games like Team Europe, they came in as the underdog team, the oldest team in the tournament. And look at them. They're second in Group A. I mean, that's unbelievable. They won two games, and they lost 4-2 to Canada last night and in a pretty boring game just because of how dominant Canada was. And you can check out our blog because I wrote a summary of the game earlier today. I posted it to Facebook as well. And it was a boring game in the sense that the goals were kind of greasy, kind of garbage goals, but they still piled the goals on and they still beat the team by double their score. So it's an interesting format, but it's proven that it works, right? It's proven that Team Europe and Team North America work.
Listen,
so
I mean,
I don't think we'll see a change in 4 years from now about the format.
People said, you know, this is a fake tournament. It's not the Olympics. It's a wannabe. People watched. That's really all it comes down to. People watched this tournament. They paid attention to it. A lot of people were talking about it. And I think it was a great way to kick off the season. Now I'm really excited for the NHL to start.
Oh, yeah. And the season starts October 12th. So get your tickets.
Training camp's open today.
Get your game center set up and you're ready to go.
Training camp's open today. So I know a lot of the players that are still in the tournament are not going to be reporting to training camp, obviously. But once this tournament's over and season really gets going, you got preseason, then what? I think in 20-something days, the NHL season starts.
In less than 20 days, I think. Well, no, I think 20 days right on, and then preseason starts around October 3rd, something like that. So we're gearing up for the season. What a great way for these superstars to get ready for their NHL, KHL, Sweden Elite League seasons. It's a great way to start the year for them, that's for sure.
Yeah, and I mean, I think this is going to help the quality of hockey because usually in the beginning of the NHL season, you have, you know, people that are still trying to get their legs under them. Since they've been playing this tournament, they've had to go. I mean, I think once we kick off the season, that's going to be it. We're going to have good hockey.
And it was good hockey pre-tournament. Let's not forget that. It was solid, fast-paced, fun-to-watch hockey pre-tournament and has only gotten better as the tournament's progressed.
Oh, yeah, definitely. So, looking forward to the semis, you got, I think it's Canada and Russia. What do you think about that game? You know, Canada, I think, is going to dominate. They're going to be ready to go for that game.
I think this will be their toughest tilt of the tournament so far. I think Russia's proven to be the second-class team in the tournament, Russia only behind Canada. I don't think it'll be an easy win for Canada. I do think it'll be a win for Canada. But there is that Canadian-Russia rivalry that dates back to the 1972 Summit Series. And let me tell you, that rivalry is there. It's alive. It's present. It's just like the USA Team Canada won. Funny story, I was golfing with Ron Ellis. He played on Team Canada, the Summit Series last summer, and he was telling me a story, and you've obviously heard of Paul Henderson, the golden goal for Canada when they defeated the Soviet Union back then. And he was telling me a story about how Paul wasn't supposed to be on the ice at the time. And when whoever came off, it started with an M, I can't remember the name, he just jumped all over the boards, went, got the puck, got the rebound, and scored the goal. And then Canada won that incredible series. Much to the same stake as the miracle on ice in 1980 for Team USA, a similar series, not politically similar, but still a great victory for your country to boot. So yeah.
Yeah, and I'm really looking forward to some of the matchups. I mean, Carey Price and Net are going up against that. I mean, that Russian forward group, those top two lines especially, those are explosive. You saw it against Team North America, how they can just score on a dime. I mean, going against Carey Price, though, and that Canadian defense, it's going to be fun to watch. And I think that it's going to be very physical. Those Russians, they know how to use their bodies.
Yeah, and you know what? The only thing that I would say about Team Russia is that their defense and their goaltending is a lot worse than their offense. And then I would say to Canada, they don't have a fourth line. They don't have a third or a second line. They have four first lines. That's how good and how deep that team is. Their fourth line consists of guys like Joe Thornton, for Pete's sake, and I think Matthew Shane and whoever else is on that line. So their depth is certainly there, and it'll prove itself on Saturday as we head into the semifinals.
Yeah, I agree. And then the other game is Europe versus Sweden. I don't think this is exactly the matchup that they had in mind when they made this tournament. I think they were hoping that it would be USA versus Sweden, and then obviously USA-Canada final. But Europe-Sweden, I think we can agree that we expect Sweden to really control the play and get through the final. What do you think?
I think it's going to be a game where Europe looks like the better team, but I don't think it's going to show too much on the score sheet. I think it'll be a close-scoring game, not a very high-scoring game, maybe a 4-3, 3-2, something like that. And I'm not going to say who's going to win that game because I really don't know, because Europe has surprised a lot of people, including me. And I threw out a prediction early on in the tournament for Europe, and I was blown away by them shutting out the States. What was that, 3-0, I think?
3-0, yeah.
3-0. So I'm not going to give a prediction as to who's going to win, but I think Sweden looked like the dominant team and looked like they controlled the game, but I don't know if it'll end up that way. So that's my pre-prediction on the game. Not going to say who's going to win. I really don't know that.
Looking back at Europe's pre-tournament games, I'm most blown away by the way that team has gelled together, because in those pre-tournament games, they just look like five skaters on the ice trying to play hockey. Now they look like they have actual lines, they have good flow. I'm shocked by that, because how quickly that coaching group has gotten them together, that's impressive to me. That's been most impressive to me.
Well, it's a nice storyline to follow as the World Cup has progressed, because you bring in eight different countries, eight different languages. Most of the guys speak English and they speak the same language, but I can tell you their head coach does not speak English. So to mesh that together and to find a balance and find what works under the leadership of Anze Kopitar is incredible. And one of the most pivotal stories, I guess you could say, of the World Cup of Hockey 2016 for me. At least that's been the case for me and my understanding.
Yeah, I agree. I think we have one game left in this round, right? Tonight?
Yeah.
It's the USA versus Czech, so we're closing on an absolute pointless game.
Yeah,
so,
it really is. But you know what? I can tell you this much. Your country and the USA does not want to lose this game. They do not want to lose this game, and it's all about pride. You take the Phil Kessel tweet, you take the Bobby Ryan tweet, you take the comments made by John Tortorella. They want to win this hockey game, and I'm telling you, don't miss this game, because I think it's going to be a good one. I really do.
I was just going to touch on the Phil Kessel thing. I think the only thing missing from that tweet last night was the frog emoji and the cup of tea emoji. That was
tweet
was absolutely perfect, and it was just an absolute shot at Team USA. Not the players, but management.
Not the players. Yeah. The only thing that I go, why did he do that, is because he was injured at the time of selection.
Well, not during the first set of players.
No, but I don't know if he – Bobby Ryan, I think, should have been on the team. He was poking fun, and in no way I don't think he hurt any of the members on the team, as Phil Kessel tweeted. But do I think Bobby Ryan's a defensive liability? Absolutely not. I think Bobby Ryan is a great player and a great two-way player at that. He's also just an offensive threat and a weapon that could have been used in the U.S. arsenal. But I'm not the coach. I'm not the management staff that put the team together. So what do I know, right?
This is to Team USA's management in regards to the Bobby Ryan, what he said, and the Phil Kessel tweet, what he said. You lost 3-0 to Europe, and you lost 4-2 to Canada. I really don't think you need any... I don't think you have to worry about a defensive liability at that point. I mean, you need as much scoring as you can get.
Yeah, you need... They were worried about a physical game. They were worried about Canada's physicality, and they came out, and granted to their team, they took care of the physicality, but they left the offense at the door. And
you
they
can't,
left the scoring
you can't,
at the door.
It's hard to hit when you have the puck the whole game, and that's why Canada really didn't have to hit.
No. You don't need to hit when you've got the puck. There's no point. You've got the puck.
Exactly. So and listen, just, you saw two completely different styles of play between North America and Team USA. Which one did better?
Yeah.
Which one did better?
North America's system worked way better.
And that was based on skill, speed, whereas, you know, Team USA's was built on, let's go body check them and grit and all this good stuff. You know, it's not... Hockey's not that way anymore. Hockey doesn't work that way.
No, I was just thinking on the train ride home today. I was thinking about the U.S.-Europe game, the U.S.-Canada game, and I'm going, this isn't the 1980s, guys. Like, this is a skilled, elite group of players, the best in the world, well, most of the best in the world, assembled to play a few games of hockey and prove to their country or to their countries that they're comprised of or the two nations, whatever you want to say, what they can deliver. And USA just bottom line did not deliver at all. They were a high hope for this tournament, and they came out bottom of the barrel. Absolutely. The only team that I think did worse is Finland, because they only scored one goal in the entire tournament. At least the USA has scored, how many have they scored? Two so far.
Two goals, yeah.
So they've got one more goal than than Finland. And then we go to the Czech Republic as probably the third worst team. But man, oh man, what a letdown for U.S. And I'm not cheering for the U.S. because I'm not a U.S. citizen, and it's not that I don't hate the U.S. or anything like that. It's that I was rooting for North America from day one, and then I've got a backup. My backup's Canada. So now I'm switching bandwagons. I'll admit it. I'm going to Canada. I think they will win the tournament. I have high hopes for them. But it is a letdown that my team, that North America, is out of the tournament, I'll tell you that much.
You know what? Tonight, I'm hoping that USA loses, because I saw this with the Devils. You know how even going into the 2013 season, with Lou Lamoriello, we were still stuck in that 90s mindset of, you know, let's play the trap, defensive-minded, big players. Hopefully USA wakens up, USA Hockey, whoever's, you know, in charge of, you know, Dean Lombardi does not know how to pick a team. So hopefully this will show them that they need a new direction. They need a completely new direction.
They do. They really do. Because right now USA Hockey is on the decline. So they've got to fix their mistake and get back on the horse and be a powerhouse team like they should be.
Yep. You're going to have Tyler Johnson in the next World Cup. You're going to have Bobby Ryan. You're going to have Phil Kessel. Hopefully they'll have Austin Matthews. I don't know if they'll let him play, but we'll see.
He won't be old enough by the next World Cup.
I know, but they're saying, and people have already started writing about how they'll make an exception for guys like that that have already played on Team North America once. That would be like a one-and-done thing.
Yeah.
Because guys like Connor McDavid and... Jack Eichel, they're going to be going into their sixth NHL season at the next World Cup.
Yeah, no, that really could be the case. And if that is the case, then will it truly be an under-23 squad, eh?
We won't have guys that are all under 23 for North America. They'll be on different teams. So
yeah, yeah. So I know you got to get out of here quickly. So just before I let you go, predictions for the final. Who do you think it's going to be, and how long?
I think Canada and Sweden, and I think Canada will win two games. Out of three games. So I think Canada will win two, Sweden will win one. So that's my guess. I don't think it'll be a far-fetched series where Canada dominates the whole time. I think it'll be a pretty good series to watch. So I'm really looking forward to that.
All right, Andrew Beamer, thank you for joining us, and we'll talk soon.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening, everyone, and Andrew, we'll talk later.